Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
It's the list and your boy at Fightful.com. With Jimmy Van and Sean Ross Sapp, they're on fire. Boom shakalaka.
200 strong.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is May 12th. It is the listing, your boy, number 200-something. I don't even know anymore. It's May 12th, though. Jimmy, I'm going to get right into the hard-hitting questions. Why do you hate fun?
Yes, I despise it. I want to sit in the closet. So
you are becoming a tyrant, Jimmy. Before we went on the air, you said, by the way, no distraction ads.
I did.
You know they're trying to make money for your website, right?
Yeah, that's good. So I'm not going to go into detail about what I did for you in Las Vegas, but Sean knows that that was a fun time.
It was a fun time. I just don't know why you're being such a tyrant over these paid ads.
We're not going to talk about that on the air. I'm happy to talk about it off the air.
We're not going to talk about it on... What was that?
I'm telling you, Sean, you don't want to do that.
What was that?
You don't want to do it, Sean. I'm telling you.
What was that?
Trust me, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that.
Jimmy, first they got into the gas pipeline. Yeah. They got into our show. What's going on here?
Let's talk about issue 2 of Fightful Magazine that finally launched, the May-June issue. And, you know, we were a little bit late getting this done. I wanted to get printing. I wanted a print issue this time, and we got it. And it's hard for me to do this when Sean's doing this bullshit, but I'm going to try. So issue 2, the May-June issue, the cover story, the greatest story never told. Mike Straw wrote a phenomenal piece about the AWA Superstars promotion. They were infamous for advertising WWE names that they never had. Sometimes they would have local guys dress up as the WWE name on the shows. Justin Roberts, of course, AEW ring announcer, he got his start in wrestling with the AWA. He was interviewed for the piece, as was Johnny Stewart, not to be confused with John Stewart, the talk show host guy. Johnny Stewart was Dale Gagne's right-hand man. He did an interview for the piece, and it was very well done, and it is not a hit piece. It's very, you know, what's the word I'm looking for, Sean? Nonpartisan.
Yeah,
so that was really good. Also in this issue, we have the writing debut of Matt Cardona AKA Zack Ryder, he was stoked to actually write an article. He said, I've never done it, but I am up for the challenge. So he did it. So we've got the debut from him. I wrote something called Jerking the Curtain because I recognized who the main event was. So I went first, Sean went last, Jerking the Curtain. I did that. Story on Bobby Lashley. Taylor Hendricks writes about breakout stars of 2021 in terms of the women's division. Story about Ric Flair versus Terry Funk, a storyline that they did. Lots of good stuff in here. Oh, there's a story about Jim the Anvil Neidhart gambling away a watch at a casino that was supposedly given to him by Vince McMahon after WrestleMania 2. That's a great story that's in this thing. And so check it out, FightfulMag.com. You can get the digital version now, or you can order the print version. And everybody did a good job. Everybody on my team, Shandy, Melissa, Lindsay, Mike Straw, all the writers, everybody did awesome.
They did awesome. It came together very quick. There was a very quick turnaround for this one. And I'm excited. We've talked to a lot of wrestlers that are interested in writing for the magazine as well.
Yep.
So,
yep.
So that's pretty cool. As long as you don't treat him like Jeremy Lambert, I mean.
So what you're trying to turn this into an angle, but it's just not going to work. So
what angle would I be turning this into?
Sean, I'm not kidding. You're going to regret doing this, and you'll find out off the air why you're going to regret it. Trust me.
Are you going to fire Jeremy for promoting his show?
And trust me, it's in your best interest that you lay off.
Jimmy, listen, look at him, guys. He hates fun. By the way, I need to kind of put this out there, guys. Donate a super chat. It'll get your question or statement read on the air. But continue, please.
Anyway, FightfulMag.com. They did an awesome job. You can get the print edition. And yeah, they did really great. So I hope everybody checks it out.
Really liked how it came together. We've got some super chats already. Guys, I can't tell you how important that is. Also, leave a thumbs up. In the middle of all the rumpus time we've had here, I didn't remind you guys to do that. But Josh Cardenas says, where do you think Selena De La Renta goes? I think that WWE should probably bring her on.
So I saw that she was trying to do an angle with Alicia Toot. And I didn't know what the hell that was about. But in terms of her look and in terms of like her hitting the Hispanic demo, I agree. Now, granted, they had Selena Vega and they fucked that up.
Yeah, they did.
And with all due respect to Selena Vega, that was just a top tier talent that they screwed up. But maybe they don't screw it up with Selena. So
Morrow says, really, guys, honestly, who throws a tomato? I really liked that Riddle thought it was funny and was not afraid to tell Randy that, because why would he? He just beat him in a match. He ain't going to be scared of Randy.
I try to take the good with the bad because RK-Bro was fun.
Yes.
And so I try to overlook the fact that we are supposed to believe that Elias and Jackson Riker threw tomatoes at the New Day, and somehow within that split second of time, Randy Orton managed to get in the way and take the shots to the face. We're supposed to believe that.
I do believe it.
Right. So you do believe
quick.
It.
He's quick. Slithery snake.
Yes.
Jimmy.
Yes.
Matt Raikiel says, hoping to run into fully vaccinated SRS down in Jacksonville. Sorry, Jimmy.
Thoughts are you trying to get me to rant already? There's a good chance that I'm going to do a Twitch rant and I'm going to just blister the Canadian government for their handling. Did you hear what happened today, Sean? Or technically it happened yesterday. Did you hear what happened to Canada?
No, I didn't.
So are you familiar with the AstraZeneca vaccine?
Okay. Yes, I did see you posted that. Yeah.
So I don't want to go on a rant. Let me just say this. If the country, and this is a lesson for any executive, really, if a country produces something and they're not comfortable giving the thing they produce to their people,
yes,
maybe you don't want it. You know what I'm
probably
saying?
Probably don't want it. Yeah.
Maybe you don't want it.
Very happy with my Moderna vaccine.
Did you? I thought you got Pfizer. You got Moderna?
No, I got Moderna.
Okay. If our prime minister had the wherewithal to understand that maybe there's a reason that they don't want to approve it in their own country, you could have avoided the shit show that you're dealing with now. So congratulations.
Yes. Bezo Bank says, welcome to the Genderlution. Sean will get this. Somebody edited a evolution poster and put Jinder Mahal's face on all the women. It was horrifying.
Why? Just for fun?
Yes. Ooh, look at this. Justin Wally says, Watched Distraction for the first time last week after seeing the paid ad. Still don't get why Jimmy hates it so much. Is this a clever angle? No, I promise you it is not an angle.
No, so let me clarify. I don't hate the Distraction podcast. That's not what this is about. I don't hate the Distraction podcast. I am not going to allow a 2.5 minute promo that felt like 13 minutes. I'm not going to allow that to air on this podcast again. And if it happens, Sean will find it off the air what my response will be.
I would never run a 2.5 minute ad on this show.
Sean, like, when we're done this podcast, I am going to tell you my response, and then you will understand why it's in your best interest not to run that shit again.
I got Quizlemania. I can't hang around.
I'll Skype it to you, and then you can read it when you're done Quizlemania.
Man Antonio says, I wait all week to listen to Jimmy. I need another show. Buddy, if we had time, I bet you we'd have one.
Does he mean like the Twitch rant about the Canadian government?
Maybe. We'll find out. Hannah M says, started my subscription to it yesterday, to Fightful Magazine. Well, thank you so much, Hannah. We appreciate
it. Are you sure she's not talking about the Distraction Patreon? Is that what she's talking about?
Might be. Might be. Push a tasty.
Something else Sean and I have to talk about.
Well, I already talked to them about it, so there you go.
Yeah.
Pusha Testy says, either I'm getting worked or Jimmy's actually pissed. You're not getting worked, buddy.
No, like I said, I'm not pissed about the podcast, the Distraction podcast. That promo felt like it took up half the show. That was a long-ass promo.
It was a long promo.
Yes, yeah, so that's not happening again.
I made
not
that note. Yeah. Dante V says, shout out to Cente de Oro's awesome lucha wall art. Yeah, guys, I have an interview with the former Sin Cara, Junico, up. We talk about him fighting people. We talk about Mexican treatment in WWE. We talk about the bicycle when he was Junico. There's so much stuff there.
There's been a lot of talk about the usage of Hispanic wrestlers, and I don't have it on my list this week, but Lucha Lit, I know Denise did not appreciate that whatsoever.
No, and everything. It's like, oh, they're Mexican? Lucha something. Lucha House Party. Lucha Dragon. Lucha Lit. It's so ridiculous.
Now, we could say, you know, Phoenix and Pentagon, they call them the Lucha Brothers.
Yeah, but that's not their whole gimmick.
That's not their whole gimmick. You're right.
GTA25 says, what's up, guys? Who you guys got this Saturday? My money's on Chandler, a new lightweight champion. I kind of feel like Oliveira's going to find a way to pull it out, man. Like, he's been around forever. He's still young. I think he's just now 31, but I think he's going to pull it off.
I think that is in the UFC's best interest that Chandler wins.
Yeah.
I think he's a more marketable personality. We'll see what happens. It was really unfortunate that he wasn't able to get the fight with McGregor.
Yes.
Because that would have been money. Like, if McGregor had beaten Poirier after the performance by Chandler the last time, that would have been a money fight, but that's the game.
Excited to watch at least those two fights, which is nice, I guess. I'll watch those two. Have a few more super chats. Man Antonio says, how do you feel about Dave saying Danielson's situation could be covered in Dark Side of the Ring? I don't have a clue what he's speaking about.
Brian Danielson?
Yeah. I
about
mean,
the concussion,
I don't,
maybe?
I don't know. And I don't want to speculate. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I don't have enough supplemental information in regard to that, unless he's talking about what he's got or like what happened in the past, maybe. Because I mean, I completely get the loss of confidence in WWE Medical, Jimmy, because they cleared Paige when her neck was hanging on by a thread. They told Chelsea Green to keep the plate in her arm. Her arm rejected the plate and caused her a break, which led to her release. CM Punk, we heard about all that. Yep. Daniel Bryan didn't get to wrestle for years. Edge didn't get to wrestle for years. Christian didn't get to wrestle for years. So, yeah, I get the lack of confidence in WWE Medical.
It could be about that. It could be about the medical staff, yeah.
Ricardo Holt says Santos Escobar's intangible is Lucha in NXT. Oh, boy. And Josh B17 says, I don't know you guys. If you guys still watch NXT UK, but what do you think next for Amir Jordan? I watch it in clusters, so I haven't gotten there yet, but I just think he'll come back. I just think he'll be back there.
Did you see the Canelo fight?
I didn't.
Oh, you didn't?
Nope.
What a spectacle, man. So
heard it was great.
60,000, I think it was 70,000 plus at AT&T Stadium in Dallas. What a scene to watch. And it might be the first time in my life that I have seen God Save the Queen get absolutely trashed by the live audience, because that was a hometown crowd for Canelo Alvarez, if there ever was one. And so God Save the Queen, I felt for that poor lady. She's just trying to sing the song, got absolutely annihilated. But Canelo looked like $1 million. And I was a little bit disappointed with Billy Joe that he sat on a stool. Yeah. But Canelo looked like him. And to be honest with you, prior to Canelo landing the shot to the eye, Billy Joe looked good.
Yeah.
It's not like he was outclassed. He looked good until he took that shot to the eye. But Canelo looked good. And you know what surprised me? Do you know who Graham Bensinger is?
No, I don't.
Graham Bensinger is an interviewer that does these great interviews. If you see them on YouTube, you'll know exactly who he is. And he did one with Canelo prior to this fight where he went to Canelo's house in Mexico and this big, you know, mansion, marble all over the place. I had no idea that Canelo was such a cocky, such a cocky
Rightfully so.
Yeah, but I didn't know because when you see him like in the ring and stuff like that, he's pretty level-headed. Like he's not Mayweather. You know what I mean? And Canelo is a cocky, arrogant sumbitch. He is. Yeah. And like you said, I guess he has the right to be because he's excellent.
Evan Wright says, love the Varsity Blondes, Julia Hart grouping.
I saw that.
What a fit. What a fit.
Yep.
Really, really great. Pusha Testy says, any news on when ROH and TNA are bringing back crowds? Well, it's Impact Wrestling. It hasn't been TNA in 4 years, my friend. But I am planning to go to Nashville the week of Slammiversary. They have told me that fans are not attending as of now. That could change. I'm going to try to go there and get interviews anyway.
When is that?
What is it?
When is it?
Mid-July, the weekend of July 17th. So okay. I'm going to try to go there a couple days before, see who's in town.
Let me know how it is because I'll be sitting here in my hole. So let me know how it goes on July 17th.
We've got super chats rolling in. Rob Wilkins, a little off topic, but he says, how do you feel about the EDM Winnipeg series?
I could talk hockey all day.
Well, we got a limited time.
Okay. So I was very elated that when it, so I'll put it into context for you, Sean. Last night, the Winnipeg Jets played the Vancouver Canucks. If Winnipeg won the game, they were going to get Edmonton in the playoffs. If Winnipeg lost the game, good chance that it was going to be Montreal and Edmonton in the playoffs, and Winnipeg would play the Toronto Maple Leafs. I wanted Winnipeg to win against Vancouver because Winnipeg is an easier stylistic matchup for Edmonton than Montreal. Edmonton in five.
Okay, that's
Edmonton
fair.
Edmonton wins it in five, yeah.
Andrew Monahan says, this is Jeremy becoming Fightful's Triple H reign of terror. With that promo last week, it did feel like it. Bill Hammett says, the distraction versus Jimmy is on par with WCW versus NWO. Oh, I agree. Jimmy, I'm going to – uh-oh. Jeremy wants to come on and talk hockey. Not right now.
Colorado's got – I will say, I know that he's an Avalanche guy. Colorado's got a good hockey team.
Yeah.
Although Vegas is better. But Colorado's got a good hockey team.
Evolution says, as much as people hate that gimmick, I think if anybody can pull it off, it's Eva Marie. Do you think her and Angel Garza could be a good pair? I think they could. I have not seen anything that lends me to believe that, like, Eva is going to pull off any certain gimmick necessarily. Maybe something has happened and she's gained a lot of acting experience.
Yeah.
Maybe that's happened. It's just, I don't know what the gimmick is yet, Jimmy.
I'll reserve judgment. I will say her promo work in the videos is not good.
I thought her delivery was okay. I think it's what it's supposed to be. But...
It's very obvious that they gave her one line at a time.
Yeah.
And that they would just have her do that one line and then, okay, here's the next one. Do the next one. Because the way that she delivered them, it didn't flow one line to the next. It was obvious that it was, you know, I'm saying this. Now I'm saying this. I'm saying this. Like, it wasn't natural. I will reserve judgment until she's on Raw.
Also, Rob had asked, did you ever get into the WWF Hasbro line? Let's try to keep it to one question per super chat, guys. But
no, I did not. By then, I was kind of out of the collecting game, so I never got into Hasbro's. So that's why if you look around this office here, I've got all the LJNs, but I don't think you're going to find one Hasbro in here.
Well, we can actually get into the show now.
I wanted to ask a couple more questions first. So the first one was, what did you think of the Floyd Mayweather Logan Paul press conference? And do you think the thing with Jake Paul was predetermined?
To a degree. I don't think it was supposed to get that far. I think they had planned something, but let me tell you, him going away in tears, got your hat.
Do you think that Mayweather knew they were taking his hat?
No.
You don't think he did?
I don't. I think there was something planned and he didn't like how it went. As we have seen when he fought Tenshin Nasukawa. Our own Joe Ferraro was there, right there for it. If things don't go his way in an exhibition, he's going to get out of there and he's going to knock somebody out to do it. So
the only thing that I got to say is I got to give credit to Jake Paul because he has sold me a ticket as a heel.
Yeah.
I want to see him get annihilated by a legitimate boxer. And that means that he has sold me as a ticket as a heel. So good for him.
Well, we've got Jay Kane saying thoughts on NXT thus far. For me, NXT is hitting home runs. Hit Row hose me down. Tuesdays have been much better for NXT. I don't know if they feel like they're going at their own pace or what the deal is, but it has been a more cohesive show. It's been a more sensible show. People are getting title shots when they win, by and large. Could I do without Finn Balor immediately popping up and being like, I want my rematch? Okay, nobody gives a shit about your rematch, first off. You won the title and were gone for like 3 months. There wasn't a ton there. You had the title for like 6 months, and it felt like he didn't defend it that much.
I think they don't know what else to do with him. And so I think that's why they think that's the way to go. I had Hit Row on my list, and I was going to say I really like Hit Row because there's such variety to Hit Row. Yeah. So they've got a girl in there with Brandy, which I think is really cool. Adonis and Swerve Scott can go. And AJ Francis, the only thing I'll say about AJ Francis, so I know that he's a former football player, so he's an athlete. He's a big guy, so he could be the muscle for the group, which is cool. He even looks like a bodyguard. So yeah, he's got all that going on. I look at AJ Francis, I keep seeing the Treasures guy. I'm like, hey, it's the Treasures guy.
I mean, that's him.
That's him, yeah. I like the variety to the group. I like how you've got these guys that can go. You've got a girl, and you've got the brute. And but the only thing I will say, if I'm Hit Row, I want to keep my ass on NXT for as long as I possibly can, because if I go to the main roster, Vince McMahon's going to have us fighting with each other inside of 2 weeks. So try to stay in NXT for as long as you can. But I like it. I like it. There's such variety to that group. I like it.
They needed something different. This is something different.
Yes.
And it's something fresh. It's something new. I'm okay with faction-based stuff. You can protect somebody while not protecting somebody else. I like
they can hold multiple titles too. I don't know if they necessarily want AJ Francis in the NXT title picture. Yeah. Maybe the North American title picture eventually, because I know he's still kind of training. But
I have no idea like if they plan on to wrestle or anything, but not everybody that has to come in there has to wrestle. I mean, I know that's how they treat most of their managers. Most of their managers are doing classes and stuff, like taking bumps and rolls and everything like that. But I love the group, and I thought it was really good.
And AJ Francis can talk, and he's got personality too.
Yeah. So. Andrew Monaghan sent a super chat. Said, did you see Conchi's corner move on Dark? I don't know why so many people like raised hell over it. Did you see it?
No, I did not.
So she laid Maddie Rinkowski across the top rope, so each corner, and then she was on the top rope and she did a senton. She's done that move many, many times before. I don't know why everybody was raising hell about it. I loved it. I thought it was a great move. It was different.
What was the criticism?
Dangerous, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't think it was that dangerous.
Okay.
Derek Davis says, did you hear about plans for SmackDown throwback that made McAfee shave his face?
Yes.
Cole bleaches tips like 99 just to get scrapped last minute. Yeah, I wish they would have done it. It would have been funny, but this was a Fox move. WWE hadn't even planned on doing it. They were not given a ton of notice from what I understand, and I hate that for them because they could have done something way cooler than what they did.
I mean, McAfee definitely looked like Vince McMahon circa, 87 or whatever it was, 90. So he had that going. The other thing I wanted to ask you, are there more Super Chats?
No. I mean, there is, but we'll get to them.
Okay, Anderson Silva. So he told Ariel Helwani today, May 12th, that he is done with MMA. He's going to keep doing, the exhibition stuff. He's got a boxing match with Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. on June 19, but he says he's done with MMA. What are your thoughts on that announcement, and where do you rank Anderson Silva among the all-time greats?
Got to have an asterisk, unfortunately, because of all the stuff that happened, but to me, my two or three greatest of all times are Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson, George St. Pierre, and probably Habib up there with them, but I think if Habib had a larger UFC body of work, it'd be easy. And then I've got ones that are below that because I don't know what they were taking. I got John Jones, Anderson Silva, Fedor Emelianenko. They are up there. So I think he's probably top five. I'll tell you that nobody motivated me to go train more than Anderson Silva. When he would fight, I'd be like, I got to get in the gym tomorrow. Like, he would do such cool stuff. Remember James Irvin?
Yes.
He moved up to 205.
Yes.
And this was such a WWE move. Like, it was Strikeforce or Affliction or some shit like that, had a Fedor pay-per-view fight. And UFC was like, you know what? We're going to have our best fighter, Anderson Silva, move up to 205 pounds. We're going to give it away on TV. We're going to put him up against James Irvin, who is okay. Mm-hmm. He's knocked some people out really quickly. And Anderson Silva jobbed him out.
Hey, good. Caught his jobbed foot. Him out. Caught his yep. foot, punched him in the face.
And then they're like, oh, you know what? You're going to go defend your title a couple more times, but you're going to come back. You're going to face Forrest Griffin. Great fighter. Champion. Champion one day. Nope, you're going to job him out. Most embarrassing one-sided fight that like maybe you've ever seen.
Probably in UFC history.
Yeah. And if you haven't heard Forrest Griffin talk about that fight, seek it out. It's very funny.
Yep. And Rich Franklin, the first fight when he won the title, we've talked about this. Franklin had a look on his face like he was afraid.
Yeah.
Like he did not look confident when he was going in. And I remember at the time live watching it thinking, is he hurt?
Yeah.
Like even before the fight started, because he had a look on his face like he was terrified and went in there and got destroyed. The only thing I'll say about Anderson Silva is I would have looked at him differently if he had have called it a day after the second Weidman fight.
Yeah.
Because so he loses to Weidman when he was still on top and he was, you know, screwing around and he got caught, comes back and breaks his leg when Weidman checked the kick. After he came back from that, he went 1-5-1. He had a no contest because he got the positive test against Nick Diaz. If you include those two Weidman losses, Sean, he was 1-7-1 in his last 9 fights.
Yeah. So really up until 2019, there were almost excuses for all those. The first Weidman fight, he clowned around.
Yes, he did.
The second Weidman fight, his leg wrapped around Weidman's shin.
Yep.
And anybody that says, oh, well, he was getting his ass kicked up to that point. Well, that's fine. Chael Sonnen kicked his ass for 4.5 rounds, it was. And then he won that. So you never know. He beat Nick Diaz flat out. I mean, that's just the way it was.
You got the PED test, though.
Yeah. Bisping, that fight should have been called. That fight should have been over.
Yes, you're right. He knocked him out.
He should have won that fight.
Yes.
The Daniel Cormier fight, he had like appendix surgery or something and took the fight like 4 or 5 weeks later.
Yes.
Last minute, up a weight class, completely out of shape. There were excuses for all those. Now, do I think that he was going to win all those? No. I thought he won Bisping. He was going to win Diaz, whether or not he was on some shit or not. But I'll choose to remember the 2006 to 2012 Anderson Silva a lot more.
And he was incredible.
Yeah.
At that, incredible. And it's like whenever he won a fight, he won it in different ways and he did it like nothing. It's like the fight would be over. He didn't even have a drop of sweat on him. And his opponents laying on the canvas. Like Anderson Silva was incredible. I do think his legacy was tarnished at the end a bit. He was incredible. And I know people that know him and they tell me that he's a sweetheart of a guy too.
Yeah.
I hear that about Anderson Silva.
You're the greatest. I really wouldn't. I really would not. And I just don't think that's a good fit. UTA25 says Jeremy versus Jimmy, distraction on a pole match. Well, let me tell you guys, if distractions are affecting your pole, check out our friends over at BlueChew.com. BlueChew is that unique online service that helps you get that confidence, helps you get stronger, harder erections. But you don't have to have a problem to use Blue Chew. It could just be a confidence issue. Maybe you're a newcomer. Maybe you're a crafty veteran looking to put something else on your fastball, so to speak. Blue Chew can help. It's prescribed online. It ships straight to your door. It's prepared and ships direct in the USA, and it comes there in a discreet package. It cuts out the middleman because you don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy or wait in line at the doctor's office. They work with licensed medical providers to get you the ingredient you need because there is more than one, and they want to make sure you get the right one. BlueChew.com. You use that code FIGHTFUL, you get your first shipment free. They know that you're going to come back whenever they're willing to give you this product for free. BlueChew.com, code FIGHTFUL. This stuff is great. If you don't like swallowing pills, BlueChew is in a chewable form. It's good to go. BlueChew.com, code FIGHTFUL.
All right, I want to talk about the importance of talent getting reps in. Okay. And Monday I posted something on Twitter and I got shit on a little bit. And I will be the first to admit I didn't word it correctly. Maybe, you know, you got a character limit on Twitter, 280 characters. So maybe I didn't explain myself properly. So, you know, Monday night, they're doing Oscar Rhea Ripley. It was, I think, the fourth time they'd been in the ring together since WrestleMania. I posted something on Twitter basically saying all WWE has to do is book them 27 times and then they'll have chemistry.
Yeah.
People shit on me, you know, saying, oh, they don't have any house shows. What else are they supposed to do to get chemistry? And I had to explain myself and I had to, you know, make people understand what my intended message was. And what I was trying to explain was WWE should not be using their A shows as training ground. They have right. unlimited resources. They got more resources when it comes to talent development than any wrestling company in the universe. They choose not to utilize those resources. And when you look at AEW, AEW's got a lot of resources too. They don't have what WWE does.
Yeah.
AEW, one area that they have traditionally been better than WWE has been their ability to maximize the resources. And a key reason that AEW Dark was created was so that talent could get their reps in. That's a key reason why they did it.
I had somebody, I tweeted about AEW Dark last night because there was some stuff on the show I liked, like Moxley and Kingston kicking the shit out of somebody. That's a point of attraction for me. I like watching that.
Right.
And somebody said, I don't know why anybody would watch AEW Dark while NXT is on. Well, because I fucking want to. That's why.
And the thing is, I don't think Tony Khan cares.
No. And
because I look at it like this. They film TV one day a week. For the last year,
they filmed three this week.
Well, I mean Dynamite.
Okay, sure.
Like their live show. Their live show was one day a week. They haven't had live events in a year. I mean, yeah, they've done a few lately, but otherwise they didn't have live events for a year. Their pay-per-views are quarterly. If they didn't have Dark and if all they had was 2 hours of TV a week on TNT, what the hell are you going to do with your roster when you can only get maybe, what do you think, Sean, 10 guys, 12 guys a week on Dynamite? What are you going to do with your roster? Dark is there so talent could get reps in. Now, somebody said to me on social media, because I made that point, and somebody said to me on social media, well, that's not the same thing. Dark is for people that have never worked on TV. That's completely inaccurate. And if you look at Dark so far this year, since January, forget about the show started in 19, forget about 19, forget about 20. If you look since January, these names have all worked matches on Dark since January. SCU, Matt Sydal, Serena Deeb, Billy Gunn, Santana Ortiz, the Lucha Brothers, Miro, John Moxley, Brian Cage, Dustin Rhodes, Lance Archer, Thunder Rosa, Matt Hardy, Colt Cabana, Pac, Ethan Page, Adam Page, and the AEW champion, Kenny Omega, has worked a match on Dark.
There are a wealth of reasons to do AEW Dark, like a ton. And okay, so before last week, Main Event would have been a good comparison or a good thing to say. Well, it's more important than that. But last week, they had Jinder Mahal pop up. They debuted a new act. Jeff Hardy came back. Ali and Ricochet is a good feud. That should not be the second best main roster WWE show because they have a brand split. But AEW Dark and Elevation, it does a lot of things. It gets in talent reps. Yeah. It adds footage to the library. You're getting more use out of your talent that you're paying anyway. They're guaranteed. Future documentary footage. You know how often do we see like the, oh, well, Daniel Bryan wrestled in WWF in 2002. And so did AJ Styles. You're going to get a lot of that.
Like Sunday Night Heat and stuff. This is basically also, the same thing. Yeah.
Wins and losses do matter in AEW. So if you want to pad somebody up and get them ready for a quick push and make it make sense within that show, give them three or four wins on Dark. That's the way that you keep those records looking impressive. That way it's not 50-50, 50-50. Now, is it for everybody? No. I personally find great joy in watching Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston abuse a couple of jobbers. I find great joy in this. I love watching a good old-fashioned ass-kicking. And then, Jimmy, when the time comes, when one of those jobbers wins, it's going to mean an awful lot more.
Well, when you look at what WWE has at their disposal, so they've got an exclusive venue. In that exclusive venue, they've got the ring, they've got Thunderdome, they've got cameras. Most of the talent is local in Florida. They've got access to a streaming platform. They've got syndicated television. They've got a YouTube channel with 77 million subscribers. And right now in this pandemic era, they've got nothing but time. They got nothing but time. What they should have done, and the problem is, and you and I know this, and everybody knows this, this is completely beyond the realm of what Vince McMahon cares about.
Yeah.
And so he's never going to think about it. When they saw Rhea Ripley and Asuka at WrestleMania, they should have thought, shit, like, we got to get reps in with these guys. These guys don't have chemistry together. But what did they do instead? They used their A show as the training ground. And the problem is, you got one chance to make a good first impression. So yep. when you've produced this match and it was shit, even if 4 or 5 matches later it's better, people already in their mind think, well, that's going to be a shit match and I'm not watching that.
Yep.
They could have very easily used these platforms that they have to get reps in. We saw in January they did it with that India taping. What was it called? Superstar Spectacle?
Superstar Spectacle,
right? Because they had everything already. They had the venue. They had Thunderdome. They had everything. So they produced a special for the Indian market because they could very easily do it. They could do the same thing for no reason. You know, do a taping on a Wednesday for no reason. You want to try these guys out and they need ring time. Boom. You do a taping on Wednesday. You put it on YouTube. If it gets 10,000 views, who gives a shit? Now Rhea Ripley and Asuka have gotten the opportunity in the television setting, which is different than the PC. They got the opportunity in the ring to get reps in. That is what I meant. And this is something WWE does not do. And they need to be more open-minded in this era. Because it is true. Yeah. It is true that they used to use house shows in order to test out new programs and stuff. You don't have that. That doesn't mean that you got to use Raw and WrestleMania as your training ground. You've got more than enough opportunity to get reps in and you choose not to do it. And that was the point I tried to make.
A lot of super chat love for Dark and Elevation, which AEW has three, what I call cohesive shows. All the shows make sense. Evan Wright says Limelight's sit down interview was great stuff. He's a fascinating guy. He reached out to me and he's like, man, I would really love for you to interview me. I like what you do. And I got familiarized with his work and I was like, man, there's a lot to talk to him about. He has worked everywhere already. He's working his ass off, made it onto Dynamite as well. He's got a story. Evan Wright said, Sean popping for the Acclaimed late night rules.
I saw that.
He reminds me of
Cena from, what was that? 2004 or whatever, when he was doing that.
And Anthony Bowens, I did a feature on him almost 2 years ago. I had a WrestleMania 2019 because WWE forgot to sign the guy. Boy, has that worked out. And I'm sure he had interest from WWE this time around too.
Do you remember when they did that with The Rock?
Yes. Yes. They forgot to renew him.
Jim Ross.
Chris Rain says, Dark Elevation has saved Monday for me, and I just watched the review show to see what happened on Raw. Hey, as long as you watch the review show, I'm all for it. Evan Wright says he's excited for Moxley versus Nagata tonight. I've mentioned this a couple times, Jimmy, but as an 11-year-old kid, I would watch every bit of wrestling I could. So I saw a lot of Yuji Nagata, Dean Malenko on like WCW Saturday Night in 97. Mm-hmm. It was so this is very cool for me to see. And he can still work.
And seeing the thing is, Moxley probably watched that too.
Yeah.
So Moxley wants this matchup for the same reason.
The Bean kicked in, says, love how AEW rewards you for putting time into it. Yeah. WWE has done a little bit better here and there. Like the Uso Roman Reigns thing. It's just, they wait until Uso gets in the ring. And they're like, here's a video of what happened.
So terrible. Yes. They did that on SmackDown. Yeah. Yeah.
Steven Fitzpatrick sends a super chat. By the way, guys, get in yours. It helps us a lot, as well as if you leave a thumbs up. It says, friend saw some of Raw for the first time in years and popped for RK-Bro. Didn't have the heart to tell him how crap the rest of the show is anymore. Should we talk about the Alexa Bliss thing now? I think we should.
Yeah, so let me ask you a question. Are we to believe that Alexa Bliss has a demon-possessed doll and she is now capable of inflicting damage to people from 100 feet away?
Just suspend your disbelief, Jimmy. Stop being a hater. Suspend your disbelief. You fucking Mark. Suspend your disbelief.
So if somebody takes Lily, do they then get Alexa Bliss's power? So like if Shayna Baszler like steals Lily, can she then... look at Alexa, and Alexa's going to stumble in the ring? Like,
Dan Lambert is about to steal that doll and use it on every MMA fighter since it works on Shayna.
Let me just say this. Let me say this. I understand wrestling is subjective. And if you guys like that, that's your right. Just because I think it's really dumb, Sean thinks it's really dumb, you can like it if you want, and that's your business.
I looked down and I didn't even notice it.
Oh, you missed
it? Until people brought it back, brought up, or else I would have raised more hell about it on Raw, on the Raw show.
You know, the first time Shayna stumbled, because I was watching it live, the first time she stumbled, I didn't think too much of it. I thought, oh, maybe she got hurt. But then the second one, when she was really animated, I was like, oh my God, they're going to say Alexa did that. And here's the thing. Alexa Bliss, she's doing what she's told. That's fine. She's going down a path that might be hard to come back from.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And maybe Alexa Bliss doesn't give a shit. Maybe she doesn't give a shit. You know, I think she has aspirations of being an actor, and she's like engaged to a musician, and maybe she doesn't care. But when you look at, say, Bray Wyatt as an example, and Bray Wyatt now is completely off television, I think, and you can tell me if you think I'm wrong, the only way that Bray Wyatt can come back and not be the supernatural guy is if he comes back in another company. Yeah. And then night one in the other company, he cuts a promo, he rips the shit out of WWE, and then he moves on.
Otherwise, I think the ripping former company promo has been overdone so many times. I don't even think they could do it.
Maybe, but I'm just saying if
anybody carried the ability to do it, it might be him, though.
The reason I'm saying that is because if you see Bray Wyatt, unless he drastically changes his look, shaves his head, whatever, if you see Bray Wyatt, say, show up on AEW, a lot of fans are going to be like, hey, it's Bray Wyatt. It's The Fiend.
Yeah.
And they might expect that hokey pokey bullshit.
Can't even use the name either.
No, he can't use Bray. The name. Yeah. But he's going to, if that scenario were to play out, he's got to address it. Like, you got to say something. You know what I mean? How can Bray Wyatt possibly return to WWE television without being The Fiend, without doing the hokey shit?
And Alexa Bliss, bad.
Alexa Bliss, how do you go back? Because she can't do this garbage forever. She's Papa Shango now. Like, you can't do this forever. You know what I mean?
I feel like getting the band back together, so to speak, with Bruce and Vince. It's like, I don't want to place the blame on him, but I mean, this is like this. That's when this angle started.
All this shit started.
All this started.
And they think it's good.
And it ain't good. It's not good. I don't like it. Objectively, the worst people carry around those fiend avatars on Twitter and harass me. So, Dub Q. Thank you. Says, thanks for putting in the work, guys. Love the show. Well, we love you, by God. Thank you very much, Dub Q. Ray Callahan said, SRS's method of Raw delay, a blessing. OFE, NFT, FTF. Thank you very much.
Do you think that this might end up with like Nikki Cross is going to do an exorcism? So but Nikki Cross,
I don't want her dragged into this bullshit.
Yeah, Nikki Cross is going to do. I have the vision.
Nothing than fuck up her entire career doing this.
You're right, but I have a vision. So Nikki Cross is going to do an exorcism. She's going to recruit Reverend Devon, and Reverend Devon's going to come in, and they might even get, what was Batista's name? What'd they call him?
Deacon Batista.
Deacon Batista. They might even recruit Deacon Batista, and they're going to kidnap Alexa, and then they're going to tie her up to a bed, and they're going to do an exorcism. And then Lily, there's going to be like a spirit's going to come out of Lily, and then they're going to somehow trap it, and then maybe Alexa will become Alexa.
Okay, let's Dante V says, Supernatural can work in wrestling. Rosemary, Sue Young, but what they're doing with Bliss isn't clicking, which is unfortunate. Dante, I respect your opinion, but I am one of a couple people who have watched every Impact Wrestling episode ever, and let me tell you, I loathe that undead realm bullshit that they pulled off on Impact for way, way too long. It was just too much, too long. They drove it into the ground. I completely despised it. I did not like it. I thought it was stupid there. I know it was Jimmy Jacobs' baby and he really liked it, but I did not. Mike Preventure, Jesus, Lily Tomlin works in mysterious ways.
See, my issue with this is, and it's not too dissimilar with Bray Wyatt when he would get pinned and pop up. Mm-hmm. And you'd watch it thinking, but that's stupid. If you're not hurt, why did you get pinned kind of thing? So the issue with Alexa Bliss is so she can hurt people from 100 feet away. How can she possibly ever get pinned in a match?
Yeah, I agree.
Like they're going down a path.
Especially when they're going to turn her into a hunchback next, Jimmy. How could she get pinned?
There you go. She'd never get pinned.
Yeah. Kieran George says, I may be alone in this, but Eddie Kingston should get all the belts. The man is on a different level on the mic. No, I think a tag team run's good. I love him and Moxley teaming up. And Jimmy, You know what I love more about him and Moxley teaming up than just them teaming up?
What's that, Sean?
It's very clear they're going to be put in the tag title picture, but they weren't just like, oh, well, you know what? They're going to get tag title shots. No, they won at Blood and Guts against Omega and Nakazawa. They won on Dark. They completely destroyed a couple jobbers. They're getting wins that are going to lead to that. They beat the Good Brothers a few months ago. They weren't just like, oh, we're going to throw them together. Killer Cross or Karrion Kross and Finn Balor. Here we go. Give them a title shot. Let's put them in there. No.
They're doing that with RK-Bro now.
But RK-Bro are getting wins, and that's what I want to see. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
Jose Flores says, here's some money because SRS did a great job conveying the frustration for Mexican viewers and talent. Thanks. I mean, I have a couple friends who are lapsed fans, like IRL friends, and I'm like, why don't you all watch anymore? And they're like, there's nobody we feel like we can connect to. And they are both, they're Mexican born and immigrated to America. And they felt like there was nobody they could relate to. And I was like, oh, Ray and Dominic. And they're like, well, to be fair, Ray been there a million times. So not that interested.
You should show them Ray Phoenix.
Well, that's the thing. They do watch AEW.
Okay. Cause Ray Phoenix is pretty damn good. Ray Phoenix is the Mysterio of this generation.
Yeah. You know who else they like? Fuego del Sol.
Ah.
Little Fuego from the Sammy vlog. I was like, well, I didn't even know that you all watched AEW stuff. And they said that they found it through Sammy Guevara's blog or vlog.
Oh,
and
so they're more into it. They must be fairly into it.
They said they found it in a recommended video. And they're like, well, we're going to check out AEW because they hadn't heard of it. But they found Sammy's vlog while watching something. I feel like it was a video game thing or a music video or something. So of all the things, Fuego, I just love that. I love that. What else you got on the list, Jimmy?
So as Alex Pulaski calls it, Wrestleback Mania Lash is coming up this Sunday. So there's two matches that are interesting to me. Roman Reigns Cesaro, I think that's going to be interesting. Bianca Belair Bayley, I think that's going to be interesting.
Yes.
There's really nothing else on that show that interests me.
Nope.
I don't see how the Raw or the WWE title match is of any interest when you saw the challengers both get beat. I just don't see how that's interesting.
I bet it'll be good.
I'm sure it will, but
I bet the tag team title match will be very good as well. Dirty Dogs, Mysterios. I don't got to see Damian Priest beat The Miz again. And it fucking bet. Pardon my language, guys. I keep saying I'm not going to curse anymore, but then I get to talk about WWE and I have to. They better not beat Damian Priest.
I don't think they will. I mean, if they do, they're out to lunch. But why? So Damian Priest wins the match with Morrison, and he gets to pick the stipulation. Why wouldn't Damian Priest just say, okay, at WrestleMania Backlash, if I beat you, Miz, we're done. We're done. You go your way. I'm moving on. That's the stipulation. Why wouldn't he just say that? No one wants to see this match. Nobody wants to see this match.
Nobody.
No. Maybe Maurice and maybe like Damian Priest's parents or something. Otherwise, nobody wants to see this match. So why not just say that's the stipulation? I'm going to beat you and we're done.
I wish. Because WWE will just go back to it in a couple weeks.
Yeah, they will end up going back to it. They will. Yeah.
I'm very excited for Reigns and Cesaro. I'm excited for Bianca and Bayley. I wish they would have just had Bayley win a bunch of matches to get back, or she should say, hey, I beat you one time. I beat you in January. That makes sense, but they don't do that. We do have a prediction show on Thursday with Jennifer Louise. She'll be joining me. I think it's about 5 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be doing that, so check it out, guys. And also, we're heading down the home stretch. I do have to wrap this show up a little bit early. I've got Quizlemania, so please donate a super chat. Get your thumbs ups in.
So if you lose, does that mean that I don't have to do The List Goes On early anymore?
For a while, yeah. I'm going for the record today, Jimmy. Most consecutive title defenses there. Oh, God, we got to talk about this, Jimmy.
What?
Oh, NWA Power. It's so bad. Well, one, Tyrus is on there. Worst wrestler on TV right now.
Uh-huh.
They're doing a storyline with Camille and Thunder Rosa, and everybody knows I love Thunder Rosa. Everybody knows she's a friend of mine, pal, thumbs up, chummy, good. This angle is so bad. And it ain't her fault, and it ain't Camille's fault. They make these segments way too long. And they had Camille come out and say, Thunder Rosa, we're going to face each other at whatever the fuck we're doing next. Pardon my language. She didn't say whatever the fuck. I did it to make the story sound.
That would have gone viral if she had.
It would have. I did it to make the story sound way more interesting because it's not that interesting. And she says, if you lose Thunder Rosa, you can't wrestle anywhere else anymore. That other company. And Mike Preventer too says, any NWA thoughts? Rosa's loser can't leave NWA stip and the show ending 15 minutes early because the champs didn't want to work. Straight trash. Yes, Jimmy. The champions, the tag champions, didn't want to work, so that they had the announcer just go, well, that's the show.
Wow.
The tag match is off.
That was it. Really?
Yes. It was one of the worst TV finishes I've seen in a long time. And I watch Raw every week. But the fact that the NWA is just like, if you lose, you have to stay here. Come on.
Who's booking? Is it Corgan?
I'll tell you what. It ain't Dave Lagana and it ain't Dave Marquez. Yeah. So you're getting this.
Huh.
I will not do any speculation on who's booking.
Yes,
as
you don't know for sure. Okay.
I don't want to get any angry phone calls, so to speak.
Interesting. So they literally said the tag champs don't want to come out. So have a good day.
Jeremy and Voices of Wrestling are the only two people that cover this show. Nick Aldis says, I think Billy Corgan wants to go back to the Attitude Era because he definitely isn't participating in the Gratitude Era. Matthew Ledesma says, any update on Bea Priestley? Double or nothing after Britt wins? I hope so, but no, very tight-lipped on the Bea Priestley stuff. I'm trying to find out, though. NWA has been bad. Pope has been great. Slice Boogie has been very fun. Just watching Thunder Rosa, cool. Some of the women they have that they bring in there, really like that. You're watching Camille develop in front of your eyes. Ain't a good show. Not a good show.
So let's get to a couple things before we wrap up. So first thing, what did you think of Blood and Guts?
Loved the show. Liked the match. The finish, they should have shot it better. I don't have a problem with there being a crash pad. Don't give a shit. Yep. Love it. They got to shoot that better. They got to do better than that. Especially when they had virtually the same thing for Stadium Stampede, and it looked awesome. They have to do better with little production things.
So with AEW, I feel like this stuff is a two-edged sword. So I feel like on the one hand, they show their inexperience at times in terms of production because they've done things before that showed their inexperience.
Yes.
But on the other hand, I feel like they tend to learn from it.
Yes.
And one of the differences, so if you think back to Hell in a Cell with Rollins and The Fiend, and I think it was you that reported that when the whole crowd shit on it live, Vince laughed at that.
Vince was laughing. Yeah.
That's the difference. So the difference is Vince doesn't recognize when something's bad. He laughs at the reaction. Tony Khan and the powers that be, they recognize when something's bad. And I guarantee you when they do this again, they're going to have a different angle.
When they had that shitty fireworks explosion, I mean, yes. It got a lot of criticism. And Tony immediately went on the post-show call and did a kayfabe explanation for it. Whether you liked it or not, he tried.
Yeah.
And that says a lot to me. The Hebkin says, can Tony Khan just buy NWA already? I wish he would. I think they could get a lot of use out of that title belt on one of those seven shows they got going on. But AEW has shown me that they're willing to adjust. They adjusted with Britt Baker. They adjusted with the Nightmare Collective.
Yep.
They adjusted with the Dark Order. They adjust, and that's what makes me very happy. Evan Wright says, set the business back 30 years, Jimmy. I don't think
so. What library does the NWA now own?
I'm not sure. I'll find out.
Okay. I'm curious because that'd be something for Khan to look at. Yeah. Okay. Let me ask you this next thing. So you lucky bastards in America are getting back to normal and double or nothing on May 30. They're going to have full capacity at Daly's Place. I just saw Sean's receipts because he's going to go there for the scrum because you're a lucky fuck. And AEW has also announced that they're going to resume live events in select cities starting in July. Now there are reports that WWE makes sense. They want to do SummerSlam in front of a live crowd, and Madison Square Garden is an option, Sean. Have you heard about that?
No.
Oh, no, you haven't heard about that?
No. I mean, I've heard about the rumor. I haven't heard that MSG is being considered.
Okay.
I reported yesterday that Las Vegas was one of the front runners.
Where do you think they would do it? Because they used to do shows at that university there, right? The university campus.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. But obviously they want fans back there. But I had heard as of last week, New York wasn't being considered.
Okay. I went to T-Mobile for a hockey game. It's a nice venue, and it's like literally right off the strip.
Yeah, so. I had not heard New York until Dave Meltzer put that out there, but I'm going to follow it up. That's for sure.
All right, last thing on my list, and this is kind of related, New Japan Pro Wrestling. Mm-hmm. Tough times for New Japan Pro Wrestling. So first, on May 4th, they conducted COVID tests after the show. They had 7 positive tests. They had 2 major events coming up for Wrestle Grand Slam, one on May 15, one on May 29. 29th was in the Tokyo Dome. They had to cancel both of those shows. The Japanese government has extended the state of emergency in Tokyo until at least the end of May. The Olympic Games are in jeopardy of being canceled.
Yep.
Tough times. And Bushiroad, which is the parent of New Japan, their fiscal year end is July 30th.
Yeah.
And most likely, I imagine, so New Japan falls under their sports division. I imagine that they're going to probably report the lowest numbers probably ever for New Japan.
Probably. They need some time to reevaluate their creative anyway. This has been one of the most unsatisfying periods in New Japan since I've been covering it. It's been the most unsatisfying. And Alba said the NFL stadium is in Vegas.
That's right.
That's what they'll be doing.
Oh, you think they would do the stadium there?
Yeah, I think they'd try to do it if they could. Yeah, for sure.
Wow. Wow.
Well, guys, I'm going to go do a stadium-sized show on Quizlemania here in a few minutes.
I hope you win because every 2 weeks I really love starting early.
Yeah, me too. So yeah. I need to go. I'll be here tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern, AEW post-show. Bushwhackers interview tomorrow. We talk about ECW, Family Matters.
Did you talk to both of them or just
both Luke? Of them? Both of
both
them.
Of them?
Both of them.
Really? Where is Butch now?
New Zealand.
And where's Luke? In Florida, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
And you
until next time, we're out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.